astray because we give a listening ear. What happened in the fall of man? Eve gave a listening ear. Brothers and sisters, we must be rooted in the Word of God. In Acts 20, verse 29. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20, and let's read verses 29 to 31. I'm not going to turn to every scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. We see that happening all around us. Therefore watch. Remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The Apostle Paul's message to the children of God. Satan, using false teachers, men who are departing from the truth to draw others away. The word perverse in verse 30 is also translated as misleading. But the most important aspect of these verses is that these wolves will come among us. Not individuals outside of the greater church of God, but wolves among us who have been led astray, who have not been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And I believe that in 1 Timothy 1:18, he was given the charge there. He says, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, I commit to you this charge to keep people on the straight and narrow way. Secondly, Satan, through the perversion of Scripture, Satan uses perversions of Scripture as a way of bringing about apostasy. Satan comes as a roaring lion or as an angel of light, and I believe this morning that he has been very successful over the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years of leading people astray. Because in the name of religion, any spiritual teaching not based on the inspired Word of God, the book of God, the Word of God that we have before us. John 17:17 talks about sanctifying them. By what? By your truth. By the truth in the Word of God. Thy word is truth, the scripture tells us. The Bible, and only the Bible, is the word of truth. Not any commentator. Yes, there's other material to read, my friends, but it must be lined up with the Word of God. We're living in a very deceptive time. I think of the conservative movement back in 1968 and 69, even in 1958. The issues back there were television and radio. Today we have much greater issues yet beyond that, and that is the technology we have in our pockets today. It must be based on the Word of God, not on man's interpretation of God's Word. Thirdly, Satan, this cause of apostasy may sound a little bit strange, but hopefully we can clear this up by thinking of tribulation and trials, because they will come. We can allow those things to drive us away from God, or we can allow those things to bring us closer to God. Matthew 13 talks about those that receive the seed on stony ground. In verse 20, it's those who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. Yet, there's no root there. And when the storms of life come, and the tribulations come, and the trials come, we're not prepared. We're not prepared. And it will drive us away. The influences of false teachers and the perversion of Scripture by the false teachers Or we have to come to realize it can be brought on by one's own misguided beliefs or our misguided actions. In the fourth place, Satan influences apostasy is to get one involved in the love of this world. 1 John 2:15 talks about it. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. The things that be of God. Just for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And we understand what that is. But then we understand it enough that it moves us to action. In the fifth place, Satan causes us to harden our hearts. Only if we allow him to. Stephen, and he's preaching in Acts 7, verse 15, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Read that chapter sometime, verses 7, beginning at verse 51. And we find what a hardened heart really can do. A hardened heart is not that humble heart that God accepts, but a heart of pride, a heart of stone. A hardened heart can lead one to murder. They murdered Stephen. A hardened heart influences doubt. In Mark 11:23, do we ever doubt? Does the scripture really mean this or that? A hardened heart influences hatred. A hardened heart influences lust. Romans 1:34. A hardened heart influences mischief. Psalms 28:3. A hardened heart influences pride. Proverbs 16:5. And a hardened heart influences rebellion. Read Jeremiah 5:23. Each one of those things lead to apostasy. And what do we find? But that's the natural tendency of the heart, to drive to those areas. And when I close with the principles to guard against that, and I want to spend most of our time there, so I need to hurry on, is that's what I want you to think about and zero on this morning. God doesn't want us to harden our hearts, but he wants us to have heart humility. Now, let me think about just for a few points here, is how is apostasy manifested? Remember, I said apostasy stems back to the fall of man in the garden. And you have, on up through the years, in church history, apostatizing, new groups starting up. But I want you to look inward this morning at our own hearts and make sure that we're not apostatizing. How does it manifest itself? And I believe that apostasy can be manifested in the resisting of the truth. You can turn to 2 Timothy sometime and read it for yourself in chapter 3. Read verses 1 through 9. The resisting of truth. That is, if truth comes across this pulpit or from somebody else to me and I resist it, I'm starting on a road away from God. Something God wanted me to hear. Truth only lies within a certain specified path, and we have in front of us the specified path if one wants to act on the word of truth as it's brought to us. Secondly, it manifests, a second form in which apostasy is manifested is that the resorting of deception. And you could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, and read about that one, where you find false teachers, which we covered earlier. Some of these points maybe overlap a little bit of what we just talked about. But a third form in which apostasy is made manifest is the reverting to immorality. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. A couple of verses I want to read there. I want to read verse 14 out of 2 Peter chapter 2. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable soul, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who lived the wages of unrighteousness. Manifested is in reverting to immorality. The world is full of immorality. We have it in front of us all the time. I want to close now with 7 safeguards against apostasy. Again, I told you not to look out there. I was thinking of giving a long line of church history in the beginning, but I chose not to do that. This is the important thing this morning, that you and I keep from apostatizing. And here's the 7 safeguards that will help you prevent apostasy from becoming part of our lives. Being steadfast. Continuation in God's word. Reading the Bible. That's how we can be victorious over all the immorality around us. 2 Peter 3 talks about evil men that will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of. From your childhood, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read verses 13 through 17. Dear ones, this morning, we find here very, very basic scripture. But scripture that needs to be taken to heart. Scripture that needs to be applied to our lives. In our fight for our spiritual life. And that's exactly what we are in. We're here in this life. We're in the battle. But brother, there is a way that we can be victorious. In 1 Timothy 6, 10 to 12, talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Be victorious. God is there. Second one is spiritual growth. How do you expect to grow spiritually? It's feeding on the Word of God. It's reading the Scriptures every day of your life. That is going to be a safeguard. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 5 through verse 8. He says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, and here's the warning, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. It's our choice. It's our choice. Spiritual growth. And we could continue reading on there for a little more yet. But we'll leave it at that. We find an outline in 2 Peter of the growth and application of that growth that we should have in each one of our Christian lives, in each one of our callings. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Get it? In deed and in truth. But in other words, not just in words, but in our actions of life. If our hearts are right, then we are safeguarded from falling away. But we must diligently seek. Your choice and mine today. Are you apostatizing? Am I? Let's go to the fourth one. Another safeguard is this. Is faithfulness. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let's start reading about verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what your hour, not what the hour your Lord doth come. And know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over the household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We'll leave off there. Safeguard is being faithful, being watchful, looking for the coming of the Lord. Neither do you know or understand, neither do we understand this morning at what hour the Lord's going to take us out of this life. A faithful and wise servant will be doing today what a faithful and wise servant should be doing. Where you go and what you're doing, do you want to be going and doing today or tomorrow if the Lord would return? Would you still be doing what you're doing? Thus, by our actions, we will stay true. We will stay straight. We will stay on the path that leads to life eternal. There is a day when time will be no more. A fifth safeguard is having and possessing, if you will, a spiritual perception. Now go back to 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, let's read verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are God, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's a verse of tremendous comfort. They are of the world, and therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can we decipher? Can we think what is not of God by knowing his word? In the sixth place, safeguard number six is incorporated in this statement. Be grounded in the truth. And we could go to Ephesians chapter 4. That talks about till we all come to the only... Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I need to read those verses. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow unto him, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Then it talks about the body being fitly framed together. This number six is being grounded in the truth. If we are grounded firmly in the truth this morning, then we will not experience being tossed to and fro when different winds come. Over my period of time, there have been different winds that came and took people away from the conservative church, because they begin to listen to voices that took them away. What voices are we paying attention to? We need to be mature. We need to be adults in understanding. We need to get to the point of spiritual maturity. We need to be solid. We need to be grounded in truth. And it means from keeping apostasy away. Safeguard number seven is this. Safeguard number seven is the use of God's armor. And it doesn't mean just parts of his armor, but it means the whole armor. You find that in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand, therefore. Having our loins girded up, facing the battle that's ahead of us. Very familiar scripture. But are you putting the whole armor of God on? Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end, God's whole armor is intended to be used to keep us steadfast and sure. Throughout the sermon this morning, we've tied the importance of these elements to that of staying true to God's word. May we take these tools this morning to remain true and faithful, that when he is finished with us here on this earth, that he would be pleased to call us his own. You get time sometime, read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Verse 16 is redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's only continual evil imaginations that are being thrown at us. Let each of us, every one of us this morning, as children of God. We can look at history. We can see where apostasy set in. But let's make sure it's not setting in our own hearts. May God help you to keep on the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven above. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you this morning. We looked at the subject of apostasy. Father, if there's any seeds of apostasy in my heart, I pray, God, they would be removed. Pray for each one here and each father, the leader of their homes, that they would be alert to seeds of apostasy. Knowing what the Scripture says, that we would be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Oh, may we have those kind of roots deep into your word this morning. May you bless each one as we go from here, that we'd be children of light, prepared to meet you at the end of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.